2 Samuel 13, we'll start in verse 1, I'll read down to verse 7, and if you'll follow along, I'll read out loud. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister, whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said unto him, Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, Lay thee down on thy bed, and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come, and give me meat, and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it, and eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down, and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come, and make me a couple of cakes in my sight, that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, Go now to thy brother Amnon's house, and dress him meat. So we're looking tonight at this account here, this bad advice given from Jonadab to Amnon, and hopefully learn some lessons about it in our own life. Now typically, when we're receiving bad advice, if someone's giving you bad advice, it could be advice in general, but specifically bad advice, when we're receiving bad advice, it's typically coming from someone that we know. It's a family member or a friend. Typically. I mean, usually, you're not just standing there and some stranger walks up and gives you bad advice and keeps on walking. Because you'd be like, yeah, whatever, and wouldn't think twice about it. But typically, it's someone we know, some relationship we have with them, some familiarity we have with them. Typically, a family member or some type of close friend. Now, in this story here, in 2 Samuel 13, we see Amnon getting advice from Jonadab. And what's interesting is Jonadab, look at verse 3, but Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. Not only was he his friend, the Bible says that this Jonadab was the son of Shimeah, David's brother. So if David's brother is Shimeah, so here's Shimeah and here's David. David has a son named Amnon, and Shimeah has a son named Jonadab. That makes Jonadab and Amnon what? Cousins. So this is not only just a friend, this is also a cousin. So Amnon then is receiving life-changing advice from Jonadab, who is both friend and family member. So let me just talk about this just for a few moments before we get into some application. Much of this, I think, is familiar to us. We probably have heard things along this line. So I think it's a good reminder of some of these things. Because just because we're in church, just because we know these things, doesn't mean that we don't fall into this trap. So just because the advice is coming from a friend or a family member doesn't make the advice right. Well, my cousin told me this. Well, my best friend told me this. Well, my brother told me this. Well, that doesn't make the advice right just because I know them and have a relationship with them. So just because the advice is coming from a family or friend, a family member or friend doesn't make the advice right. Just because it's coming from someone who has known you for years. People say this, well, so-and-so told me, and they've known me since I was a kid. Well, that doesn't make the advice right just because they've known you since you're a kid. Maybe they've given you bad advice since you were a kid. So it doesn't make the advice right because they've known you for, 30 years or something. So just because there's a relationship, their friend or family member, doesn't make the advice right. Just because they've known you for years doesn't make the advice right. Now watch this. Just because it's coming from their own experience or speciality doesn't make the advice right. Some people say, well, they told me this, and they're an accountant, so I'm going to follow their advice. Well, it may be good advice. It may be bad advice. Just because someone's an accountant doesn't mean they're going to necessarily give you biblically good advice on your finances. Just because they're we'll say a doctor, because they're kind of in the news right now. Just because they're a doctor doesn't mean that the advice they're going to give you about how to live your life lines up with the Word of God. And so just because they have experience or speciality doesn't make their advice right. In fact, a total stranger could give you advice, good advice, if it's biblical advice. and a well-known person, a family member, a lifelong friend, could give you bad advice if it isn't biblical advice. So the difference between good advice and bad advice has nothing to do with relationship or experience or how long they've known you. What do you think makes good advice? Whether it's biblical or not. Now, watch what I said, because even though we say that, we don't always process it that way. Let me say it again. Okay, so back up the tape. Okay, so whether something is good advice or bad advice isn't based on how well you know them, how long they've known you, whether what relationship you have, what experience they have. The difference between good advice and bad advice is whether it's what? Bible advice. Now watch, it doesn't matter whether it works or the outcome is what you want it to be. That's called pragmatism. So we're not just saying what will work, we're saying what is right to do. Because sometimes what's right to do isn't going to work the way you want it to work. It isn't going to turn out the way you want it to turn out. Doing right doesn't always make you successful the way you want to be successful. But it's always right to do right. And so when we decide whether something's good advice or bad advice, the question is, what does the Bible say? Does it line up with the Bible? And if it is, then that's the right advice then to take. So let me say it one more way. It isn't their relationship to us that makes their advice right, but their relationship to the Bible. That's what makes their advice right. So let's go to a place here. Let's go to Psalms 119. I think this is a good verse to look at as we think about this together. Psalms 119. If they're related to you, if they're a friend, if they've known you for years, if they have an experience of speciality, it doesn't make their advice wrong either. So I don't want you to go into the other ditch. Okay, don't say, well, you know, you're my best friend, you've known me all my life, I know you love me, I know you have great experience, but I'm going to ignore it because of all those things. Don't ignore it for that reason, but you don't take it for that reason either. It's what does the Bible say? Does it line up with the Word of God? Psalms 119, look with me, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. And so whether or not it lines up to the Word of God is the deciding factor whether it's good advice or bad advice. Now, I'm going to go a slightly off path here just for a moment. Because we're talking about friends, and Amnon had a friend. His name was Jonadab. And there is nothing wrong with having friends. In fact, we could say this, concerning friends, good, godly friends can be a great help. It's the iron sharpeneth iron. It's iron sharpening iron. I have a hard time with that word all of a sudden. Principle in the Bible. And so there's a beneficial thing. If you have a good, godly friend, they can be a great help and a great encouragement to you. My wife made a friend back in her teenage years. Her name is Belinda. And Belinda now, they were at Victory together. Now Belinda is at Faith Baptist, been there for years. Faithful there, good, godly lady. They're still friends. She was the one who sold us our house, the one we live in now. She was in our wedding. She was something. Maid of honor. Matron of honor. Matron, because she was married, right? Matron of honor. And so, and I had a best man too, but he doesn't remember. But anyway, so... I shouldn't keep teasing you about that, but it's funny. So anyways, but they were friends growing up, and they were a great help, a great blessing to each other. So there's nothing wrong. There's nothing bad about having a good friend, and that good friend could be a source of good advice, and they may be a good encouragement to you. But I think what we got to be careful of is not having this mindset that I have to have friends. You know this? You could go through life and have very few friends and still live for the Lord and still do well. In fact, really, the way we live today is kind of uncommon, historically speaking. Because historically, we were not a urban society where everyone's living together in big cities. We were much more agrarian, rural. Even in Bible days, they were much more farm type. Anyone ever watch Little House on the Prairie? Okay, good. So if you remember Little House on the Prairie, they're living way, way out in the boonies, right? And every now and then they would go into town and they would spend some time with some people. And then they would go back home, back out away. And then you had strong families because that's all they had was family. And they worked together and they didn't have a lot of the bad influence. Because there's always been a devil. There's always been a bad influence. But they're away from them. But now that we shove everyone together in these close-knit communities and we're kind of living on top of each other and we're around each other, somehow in our minds we think, I and my kids got to have all of these friends in order to survive, and that's not necessarily biblical. There is a pressure in this world. I'll give you a word that's probably familiar to you. There's a pressure in this world for socialization, that our kids have to be, they have to have socialization. They have to be invested in the world. They have to have friends in the world. There are those who would criticize you. There are a lot of bad things that happen in public school. Okay, it starts with their teaching. It starts with the teachers aren't so great either. Teaching, the teachers, the curriculum, the thrust, the direction. But, you know, there's a lot of kids in the public school. And not all the kids are saved. And not all the kids are living right. And to think I can take my kid and just throw them in there and let them be a part of all of that that's happening, it's not going to affect them. That is not a very wise way of thinking about raising your kid. And so this whole thrust of socialization, I'm not saying it's wrong to have friends. What's wrong is that you think you have to have friends in order to be successful or to thrive, and that's not the case. Good, godly friends are a great help, but you don't need a million of them. You don't need a whole host of them. You just need a few that the Lord would give you. Now, that's my little side road on friendship. Let's go back to this main thing now. So Amnon had this life-changing advice given to him from Jonadab, who's both a friend and a family member. And if you know what happens later in the story, and we won't go into it, but it is a horrendous event that happens. But it all begins because Jonadab gives Amnon this bad advice, and Amnon listens to it and acts on it and ruins multiple lives because of it. So what kind of lessons can we learn? Well, I'm going to give you four of them tonight, and we're going to look at these together. So go back with me to verse 2. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Let me give you the first lesson, then I'll talk a little bit more about it, why we're saying this. A wrong lifestyle brings you into contact with wrong people who will give you wrong advice. We call the opposite of this separation. Separating from certain groups of people. Not because we don't like them necessarily, not because we think we're better than them. It's kind of like spiritual social distancing. We separate them because there is some problems of how they're living, and I don't want that to flow into my life. So a wrong lifestyle brings you into contact with wrong people who will give you wrong advice. It is evident from this account, from this story, that Amnon himself was not a good person. How many know the story about Amnon and his sister? Okay, if we understand the events that happened, we know this. Amnon is not a good guy. This isn't a good guy who does a bad thing. This is a bad guy who does a terrible thing. So Amnon himself is not a good person. And he's hanging around Jonadab, who's not a good person. And you have these two people working together, scheming together, talking together, and they do this horrendous thing. So this wrong lifestyle brings you into contact with wrong people who then give you this wrong advice. A sinful lifestyle often connects you with others living in a sinful lifestyle. Kind of birds of a feather idea. So you're at the bar, hanging around people. You know the people you're going to hang around with at a bar are people who what? Go to a bar. Those are, you're hanging around people who are going out drinking and that's their lifestyle, and you're looking at them like that's going to be a positive, that's going to help you in your own life. So a sinful lifestyle connects with others living a sinful lifestyle. So watch what happens. So the ones advising you are just as sinful, maybe even more sinful as you are, and becomes a self-defeating cycle of advice. Let me illustrate it this way, see, in case you're not catching what I'm trying to say. So here's what happens. A guy has an argument with his wife. What could be a girl, a woman who has an argument with her husband? Unfortunately, it happens both ways. So we'll just say a person has an argument with their spouse. And they go to the bar. Because, let me tell you why, drinking solves all the problems. Watch the movies and the TV, it doesn't matter what problem. Okay, that is, if you're listening in sermon audio, that is called sarcasm. Okay, so that is a sarcastic comment. It doesn't solve, it only creates problems. But in the world's mind, drinking solves your problems. So if I'm distressed, drink. If I'm tired, drink. If I'm too excited, drink. If I'm nervous, drink. If I'm not going enough, drink. If I'm going too much, drink. It's like every problem, you watch this show, no matter what happens, you want a drink? Yeah, let's have a drink. That solves it. It only creates more problems. So you're sitting in a bar, you had a fuss with your spouse, you're sitting in a bar, and you talk to this person next to you. And you start, now watch this. First of all, strike one, you're sitting at a bar drinking. That isn't going to solve any problem right there. Okay, so you're sitting in a bar drinking, and you're telling someone else who's sitting in the bar beside you your marital problems. Strike two. Why are you telling them? Can they do anything about your problems? No. Wow. No, they cannot do anything about your problems. If I have a problem with my wife, which we never have a problem. We've never had a crossword in the last 30 seconds, okay? So we never have a, we okay. But if I have a problem with my wife, who do you think I should talk to? Jesus. Okay, after I talk to Jesus, Lord, this woman thou gavest me, okay? After I talk to Jesus, she's the one I should be talking to. Why am I talking to someone in the bar about my problem with my wife? So here I am in the bar drinking, strike one. Talking to someone else who can't do anything about it, strike two, and here's what happens. This person sitting beside me begins telling me how to deal with my spouse. But that person probably just left home fighting with their spouse, their third wife maybe, because they've divorced the first two, and they're trying to tell me, well, here's what you need to go home and just take control of that situation. Really? That's probably what happened to your first two wives, right? And so that's strike three. But yet people sit in a bar, and that's exactly what they do. They talk to each other. I kind of know this first. Okay, I say firsthand, not that I've done this, but I've lived around bar people. I can tell you this is what they've done. I've actually sat around and listened to them. They talk to each other about their problems. They're both half drunk. They convince each other what they should do, and what they should do, it has nothing to do with the Bible, and then they go act on what they convince each other to do, and it blows up. Why are you even asking them? But this is what happens. This wrong lifestyle brings you into contact with wrong people who then gives you wrong advice. You know, Amnon should never have been around Jonadab. Jonadab never should have been around Amnon. They were neither one good for each other, but now they're together talking about this, giving each other bad advice about what to do. So this whole idea of separation that sometimes we talk about is the idea we separate from sinful behavior. But that's really self-preservation. I want to live for the Lord, and so I'm going to separate for certain behavior because I know that becomes a negative in my life if I'm hanging around it. So we can say it this way. One way to get good, godly advice is to be around good, godly people, taking advice from them. That's the people you should be listening to. So number one, that's the first thing we see here. This whole connection between Amnon and Jonadab is bad. There's nothing good about it. And even if you don't know the rest of the story, if you haven't read it yet, you can see that this is going to turn out very poorly. And it does. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two, let's go to verse three. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimea, David's brother. Now watch this statement here. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. Well, that kind of looks negative. And it is negative in this context. But it doesn't necessarily have to be negative. It's not negative necessarily it's not necessarily negative to be subtle or shrewd. I'm going to use the word shrewd. That's the way I'm going to apply it. So it's not necessarily wrong, but it is wrong in the way it's being used here. So that brings us to the second big lesson. And number two is this. Worldly wisdom does not equate to biblical wisdom. You can have biblical wisdom in living godly while being shrewd in knowing how to live in this world. And you do need to have a certain subtlety or shrewdness or prudence, whatever word kind of connects with you, in living this world. You just can't be goofy and stupid and just wasteful. You got to have a certain amount of not just common sense, but a certain prudent shrewdness about how to live. I'll give you an example of what I mean. I know a fella. He told me every 2 or 3 years he has the credit to do it. So he'll get a credit card, and it'll say if you charge X amount of dollars over 3 months. So he'll charge everything that he's going to buy. He'll charge it. He already has the money, but he'll charge it and then pay it off, because after 3 months, then he gets like, I don't know, a bunch of miles or something like that, and he gets to fly somewhere for free or gets hotels or something like that. And so every time he's planning a trip, he'll get the credit card like several months ahead of time, and they'll say, all you got to do is keep it 3 months, charge X amount of dollars, and we'll give you the miles. That's the only thing that's required. So he does what's required. He keeps it the same amount of months, whatever, charges the amount of money, gets the miles, and then uses that miles to pay for his trip. And then guess what he does to the credit card? Cancels it. He's not anything wrong about it. That was the agreement. He fulfilled the agreement. There's nothing wrong, nothing unethical, nothing unbiblical. He does exactly, this is the agreement between them. He's not lying. They're not lying. He fulfills the contract, as it were, and he gets, there's a certain shrewdness about that. I mean, you're using a good deal to get the help, save some money. So that type of shrewdness, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay, so I'm not condemning that. But that's not what we're talking about. So you can have biblical wisdom in living godly while being shrewd and knowing how to live in this world. But watch this. But living shrewd or subtle without also seeking to live godly isn't the wisdom that comes from God. There's some people, they're always trying to be shrewd, but it has nothing to do with what's right or wrong. They're just trying to get away with something. So the intent, this is where we're going at this point, the intent behind the shrewdness will determine whether the advice is godly advice or that should be followed. Now, let me give you one more thought about this and then maybe give you another way of looking at it. Shrewd, godly advice allows us to get the most out of our efforts, watch this, without cheating, lying, manipulating, or dishonoring the Lord's name. Otherwise, it may be shrewd, but it's bad advice. There are people, if I can tell, because I don't think you'll know who this person is. So there's someone who is someone who's trying to do something that wasn't right. Okay, next illustration. So there is someone who is trying to do something, and they said, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go to the store and get this thing because we only need it. We're going to use it for like a day. It was a little bit more expensive than what you'd want to pay for something, but he said, we're going to use it for a day. And after we get done using it, we're not going to need it anymore. It was like to fill in for something. I'm being non-transparent on purpose. So we're going to use this thing for a day, and then we're going to package it back up and take it back and just tell them, well, it didn't work, we don't need it or whatever, and we'll get our money back. I said, that's kind of like lying, isn't it? And he said, well, they'll never know the difference. But that's kind of like lying, isn't it? Maybe we just should do what's right. And here's what they said. But you know how much that's going to cost us? That's not the question. The question is what's right to do. Now, if you can go somewhere and they'll let you do that and they'll take it back and they're happy with it, then so be it. But if that company is selling it to you and you return it, it's a cost to that company. And if they're not willing to take that cost and you're cheating them, that's not right to do. Because really, there's nothing wrong with the product. And you knew it. It's different. Okay, I got to, people, Pastor White, hate says you can't ever return anything to Walmart. That's okay. That's not what I'm saying. Okay, so I got to make sure you understand. If you're planning on getting it and to return it, I mean, that's the whole plan ahead of time, that's what I'm talking about. Okay, it's not like you got it and it didn't work and you took it back. I mean, you already knew you're going to take it back when you got it and you're going to use it and take advantage of them. That wasn't right to do. See, and here's the explanation. But it works. It does work, but it's not right. So we're not looking for just what works. We're looking for what is right. So we're not just trying to be shrewd. We're trying to be godly. Now, if you can be godly and shrewd, great. But if you have to pick, let me ask you. If I can be shrewd and godly, great. But if I can only do one or the other, what should I do? Godly. I know you're thinking, yes, godly. That is the answer. There's no trick question here. Godly. But what if it costs me? Godly. What if it doesn't work the way I want? Godly. Godly is the answer. Okay, so worldly wisdom does not equate to biblical wisdom. If you can do both, great. But if you got to pick, you pick the biblical. Because the advice that Jonadab gives Amnon, watch this, works. Does it not work? He gets Tamar. He gets her alone. It works. But was it right? No. And Amnon could say, and basically what Amnon says is, well, that's pretty good advice. That's going to work. Yeah, it is, Amnon. But it doesn't make it right. And so I don't care how subtle it is. I don't care how shrewd it is. If it's not biblical, if it's not godly, you should not be doing it. It's bad advice. So that's number two. Worldly wisdom does not equate to biblical wisdom. I'll give you the third lesson here. Go back with me to chapter 13. Look at me with me in verse 4. And he said unto him, this is Jonadab, why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me? And Amnon said unto him, I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister. And Jonadab said unto him, what is your problem, bud? Get over it. It's not right to do. Straighten up. Is that what he says? That's what he should have said. Here's what he says. Lay thee down on thy bed, make thyself sick, blah, 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 blah. Now watch this. Number three is this, and you can tell these kind of build on each other. I'm assuming you can tell that. Number three is this. Friends who encourage sin are bad friends. Pastor White, how do I know if that's a good or bad friend? What do they encourage you to do? They encourage you to go to church? That might be a good friend. If they like, you're going to church again? That's probably not a good friend. Probably as in, it's not. Friends who encourage sin are bad friends. Does not matter how long you've known them. How much you have gone through together. Or what they have done for you in the past. You cancel friendships who blatantly encourage you to sin. You cancel them. You say, no, we're done. But, man, I've known them since elementary school. First of all, they didn't die for you. And when you die, that's not the one you're going to face. Okay, you cancel friendships that are blatantly encourage you to sin. Our relationship with Jesus is more important than any relationship with a friend or, I'll tell you, even a family member. Now, let's go kind of another direction here for a moment. You know what's odd about this account? Is how freely Jonadab suggested what he did to Amnon. He didn't think twice. You know what? Because he knew something about Amnon. If Amnon was a godly young man who wanted to live for the Lord, you think Jonadab would have been so freely to tell him? Because what he was saying was a very wicked thing. So really the question is, if we have friends who are so willing to give us bad advice, what does that say about us? Maybe we're the bad friend as well, huh? So let me say this. Questions to ask yourself regarding our friendships. So if you think about who your friends and your interaction with them, here's some questions that we could ask. One is this: do my friends know I'm a born-again believer in Christ? So let me ask you this way. If you went to your whatever group of friends you have, and you just went one by one and said, and told them, I'm a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. I'm a born-again believer, and just told each one, would they be shocked? Would they say, man, I never knew that about you. When did this happen? And now, if you just got saved this week, I understand that. If you've been saved for a long time, and these are your best friends, why don't they know this? So, do my friends know I'm a born-again believer in Christ? Obviously, you're not witnessing to them if they don't know you're a born-again believer. And there's maybe something about your lifestyle. Here's a second question to ask ourselves. Is it evident to my friends that I'm trying to live right and holy before God? Let me tell you some of the best, I'll use the word praise, best praise I've gotten when I've known people, usually at work, because it's typically not my friends. My friends, you know, since in my adult life going forward, I went off to Bible college, and that's been kind of my friend set. But people I'm at work with, we're really not buddy-buddy, but, you know, I'm dealing with them every day when I'm working a secular job, when I've worked secular jobs. So some of the best praise I've gotten when they've said, you know what you should do? You should, oh, no, I'm sorry. I know you wouldn't do that. That's good praise. Because they know something about my lifestyle is not in harmony and agreement with the advice they're about to give me, which isn't godly. They're like, oh, no, never mind. You wouldn't do that. So is it evident to my friends that I'm trying to live right and holy before God? And it's not that you have to go up and you don't have to necessarily go up and announce it like this. I am a born-again believer, and I'm trying to live right and holy before God. Okay, all you have to do is, now you should tell them that you're a born-again believer, but all you have to do is watch this. You live right and holy before God, they'll pay attention. They'll say, you know, I've noticed, you don't swear, do you? You know, I've noticed you're not the one telling the dirty jokes. I've noticed you're not the one, you know, stealing all the electrical tape from the mining company, which is what miners always did. And, I've noticed you're not the one, you know, in the bed of your pickup has all the stuff that no one's paying attention. You keep throwing in the back of it and driving home real fast. I notice you're not that person. And they're paying attention. It should be evident to my friends, co-workers, whoever, that I am trying to live right and holy before God. So then there's a third question. What about me would encourage a friend to suggest that I do something that is blatantly wrong? That's really, I think, what it boils down to. Why do you feel comfortable suggesting I do something that is so wicked? What do you see in me that you think that I would be willing to do that or would want to do that or be a part of that? So friends who encourage sin are bad friends. That's all it is to it. You may not like that. They may be friends of a lifetime. But you just have to decide where your loyalty is, to them or to your Lord. Cannot serve two masters. So that's number three. Number four, let's go back to verse one. Verse one is the first, second, and third point kind of built upon each other or kind of connected. The fourth point connects, it's the same thing, but only different in the words of Larry Sellers. I like to quote him. He likes when I quote him too, by the way. But this is somewhat of a different type of lesson. So let's go back to verse 1. And let's look at something I think that's important to understand here. It's not only important to understand people give you advice, it's important if you're giving advice. Because this is something sometimes we don't consider, and we may be the one giving bad advice. Verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Now what you have here is you have four family members mentioned. So let me give you the point and explain it to you. Here's the fourth thing. Good advice tries to preserve good relationships. So you have Amnon's father mentioned. You have Amnon, you have his father, that's King David. You have his brother, that's who? Absalom, correct. And you have his sister, and that is Tamar. So you have four. Now, Absalom and Tamar, from our understanding, the way it's laid out here, Absalom and Tamar has the same mom and dad. Now, David had a bunch of wives, not as many as Solomon, but he had a bunch of wives. And he had a son, Absalom, and he had a son, Tamar, from the same wife. So Tamar and Absalom were full brother and sister. Same mom, same dad. Amnon was David's son, but he had a different mom. So he was half-brother to Tamar and to Absalom. But still, half-brother, I mean, that's still pretty close. And so you have a dad, you have a son, you have another son, and you have a daughter. All four of these are in a familial relationship. So you have Amnon's father, brother, and sister all listed. Now watch. And Jonadab's advice is clearly going to destroy those relationships. There's no doubt what Jonadab is saying is going to blow that whole family apart. Really? You're suggesting Amnon to do something against his sister? And you don't think that's going to affect his relationship with his brother and brothers, but especially that brother who's a full brother? And you don't think it's going to affect his relationship? Well, obviously it affects his relationship with his sister. It's going to affect his relationship with his brother. And you know his dad's not going to be too keen on this. But you're going to suggest him do it anyways? As if it doesn't matter? Yeah, let's go ahead and blow your whole family up. Try that. See how that works for you. Let me tell you, that is terrible advice. Never taking account of the familiar relationships that are involved. Now, let me back up just for a second before I go forward. The point three, well, about friends who encourage us to sin are bad friends, that talked about our relationship with the Lord, and we talked about Jesus as the most important relationship. I'm not going against that. I'm just putting that to the side for a moment, and I'm talking about human relationships. Okay, so in human relationships, our advice has to, the advice we're listening to and the advice we're given has to take in consideration the relationships we have, good relationships, okay, good relationships we have. So, let me give you a couple just thoughts about this. One trait of good advice is that it takes into account current good relationships and tries not to unnecessarily hurt them. Now, really, I guess I'm thinking as much about giving as in taking here. If you're giving someone advice and you're not thinking about how this affects their parents, how this affects their kids, how this affects their spouse, whatever relationships are involved in their life, yeah, just go do X. Really? Is it going to ruin some relationship? You better be thinking about what you're doing. That's just like saying, I don't know, here's some pills, take 10 of them, see what happens. You might want to think about what you're giving people before you poison them and poison a relationship that way. And if people are giving you advice and they don't care about any of your other relationships, I really don't want to hear your advice because I'm not trying to kill my good relationships. I'm trying to help my good relationships. So one trait of good advice is it takes into account current good relationships and tries not to unnecessarily hurt them. Good advice tries to preserve and improve our relationship with our spouse, our parents, our siblings, our children, our fellow believers, whatever relationships we're talking about. The only time, and this now connects back with the previous point, the only time that those relationships can be set aside in that advice is if they conflict with our relationship with God. Not because those relationships conflict with us getting our way. If you have a friend, this really goes for young people. If you have a friend who's telling you, I don't care what your mom and dad says, they don't know, they're just a bunch of idiots. You just need to do X. Let me tell you, I don't know anything else about your friend, but I can tell you this, it's a bad friend. You have a friend who's suggesting you do something that's going to hurt your relationship with your parents. Okay, most parents, there are always wackos out there, but most parents, kids think otherwise, but this is the truth of the matter. Most parents don't lay awake at night and saying, how can I make my kid's life miserable? Oh, that'll work. Let's try that tomorrow. Okay, good, let's try that tomorrow. Okay, that's how most parents are. But sometimes that's the advice that kids get. Your parents just don't care about you. They're just trying to make your life hard. No, your parents love you and try and do what's best for you. And someone who's telling you otherwise is a bad friend. Go tell them pan salt, pound salt, pound sand, whatever. Tell them to get lost, okay? Just tell them to take a hike. Can't get my insults out. So the only time that I would say, and when I'm giving advice, I'm always thoughtful. I shouldn't say I'm always, because we all come short many ways. I try to to consider the other relationships involved in about what I'm about to tell you. The only time that I'm not going to say, okay, be careful how to hurt your parents or your friends or your brother and sister or whatever, is if God clearly commands us to do something, we do what the Bible says. Well, my parents won't like it. Too bad. My brother and sister won't like it. Too bad. God always gets first place in our life. Other than that, we need to consider relationships. So good advice tries to preserve good relationships. Amnon was getting very bad advice from Jonadab, and Jonadab seemingly cares nothing about Amnon's relationships, which means he really doesn't care much about Amnon. So let me give you a couple final thoughts here. It is a blessing. It's a blessing to have spiritual people in your family who can give you good biblical advice. If that's you, thank God for it. If you've got someone in your family you can look to and you can ask them advice, a parent, a sibling, a cousin, aunt and uncle, grandparent, if you have someone that you're related with that can give you good spiritual advice, good biblical advice, that's a blessing because a lot of people don't have that. Okay, but if you do, great. So I'm not saying ignore it. Only ignore it if it's not biblical. And we could also say this. It is also a blessing to have spiritual friends who can give you good biblical advice. And sometimes that's the case. Someone who's not going to tell you what you want to hear or what you want them, what they want them to tell you, but they're going to tell you what the Bible says, and that's a good friend. There's a verse that just came to my mind, if I can quote it. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. That's probably not word perfect, but it's pretty close. And so if you have a friend who will tell you the truth, even they know it may jeopardize your friendship, that is a good friend to have. Don't just listen to people who just tell you what you want to hear. But the emphasis on both of these must be on good biblical advice, not the relationship we have with them. It's not because they're family, it's not because they're friend, it's because it's biblical advice. That's why we listen. And with that thought in mind, we could say this. It is better to hear good biblical advice from a stranger than bad advice from someone we know. Because it's the biblical advice that we're seeking. All right. Let's pray together.